lives and in our families and people we love. And so many had this morning, morning started out with a message this morning. Someone sent me a message that they were considering hurting themselves. And tried to talk to them this morning, and then a couple other families have come in and this morning, and this devil's been on their back and trying to hurt people they love. A lot of physical problems, sicknesses this morning, a lot of financial issues. But God is greater. No matter what it is, God can take care of it. With everything and every problem, if we'll just do right, and just lean upon His Word, God will always show Himself strong. So we praise Him today for being a great God. Praise Him today for being a faithful God. Praise Him today for being a loving God. We praise Him today for being a merciful God. Praise Him today for being a gracious God. He's just a great God. And again, we talked in our Sunday school class this morning that sometimes we have to remind ourselves of the great love of the Lord. We shouldn't have to, but we do. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, we already know from the Word of God, the best way to study the Bible is compare Scripture to Scripture, by the way. We already know from the Word of God that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So why does Jude say to keep yourselves in the love of God if nothing can separate you from it? For the same reason that you find the church at Ephesus in Revelation, that they were busy doing all these great things. Nevertheless, the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee. They had left their first love. It's possible for us as Christians to forget, to not be motivated by, and not be driven by, and not be encouraged by the great love that God has for us. So it's important that we stop and remember that God is love, and He loves you. Very first message I gave that person to talk to me this morning was, number one, God loves you. And I tell you today, God loves you. There's nothing that will ever separate that. I want you to turn in your Bibles quickly with me this morning to Genesis in chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. This is the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter number 19. And we're going to start reading in verse number 12 in Genesis chapter 19. And what had happened, God had spoken to Abraham. Abraham had prayed on behalf of Lot, his nephew, and all of his family, and asked God to spare them and not destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. So God sent some messengers with a message to tell Lot. They come to the city of Sodom, which was a terribly wicked city. The people had become so wicked in their thoughts and imaginations and their actions. As a matter of fact, when these two guys came into town, Lot saw them and brought them into his house quickly, because he knew that something bad would happen to them if they stayed out on the streets. So there they ate a meal together, and Lot said, I'll feed you, house you, and get you on your way. He was ready for them to leave already. And that's when they gave him the message that God was going to destroy the city of Sodom because of Sodom's great sin. There was knocks at the door. People of the city wanted to throw those two messengers out into the street so that they could hurt them and abuse them. Lot, and one of the most, to me, confusing things I've read in the Bible, said not to do such a wicked thing, and that they He would even offer his own daughters to send them out into the streets. That's when those two messengers of God stepped in. They struck all the men that were out in the city with blindness. They were crawling around on their hands and feet trying to find their way. No one was harmed. It's there where we pick up where the angels tell Lot that God's going to destroy the city because of its wickedness. For the same reason that God had to destroy the earth in Noah's day because their every imagination and thoughts were wicked. The Bible says in the Gospels that in the days of Noah they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They were just going on in life, living life with no thought of God or His word at all. Sin filled their lives, and God had to destroy the earth in Noah's day. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same things. And one day God's judgment will once again be poured out upon this world because of the great wickedness and the choosing of rejecting His Son and salvation. But here we'll start reading in verse 12. If you're able to, can we stand as we read our scriptures just in respect to the Word of God? If you're not able to stand, God understands that, I promise you that. But in Genesis chapter number 19, verse 12, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, that the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. They brought him forth, and set him without the city." Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please take the reading of your word, and now the preaching of it. I pray that, Lord, your spirit would do its work. That God, he would speak to us and teach us and guide us and encourage us and teach us and rebuke us. And Lord, whatever our spiritual need is this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit would have free reign this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, you just please use the message for your glory, and we love you. We humbly ask you, Lord, just to please speak to hearts, put a hedge about us, let no distractions come. Lord, I pray that we would be captivated by your word this morning. Lord, help us to be focused. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. This past week, we had our kids' crusade, and we had a great week. And once again, there's probably a note going to be on the screen behind me, but please, I want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who did so much this week. There were so many people and so many things, from the planning, all the bus work, all the decorating, all the cleanup, all the sitting in pews, the skits, the acting, the offerings, there was so much done this week. And those that were able just to spend the time in prayer, praying for us, thank you. God truly blessed. We average 160 every night, which is one of our highest we've had in quite a while. And then most importantly, praise the Lord, there were 13 souls saved this past week, and we thank the Lord for that. We had a lot of fun. We liked playing the games, and we had good singing. Brother Price did a tremendous job this week, leading in our songs, and the preaching was always, one of my personal favorite parts. The man riding the ostrich throwing candy, you've never seen that, you've missed a blessing, all right? He offered to come this morning. I told him better not. Yeah, he offered. But we had a lot of fun. One of my personal favorite fun parts of it is the puppets. I think they're awesome. They tell jokes, and there's some really good jokes that they tell. They told some pretty fun ones this week. I love watching the kids. I like watching them laugh at it, but I love watching the adults be like, "Oh, that was pretty funny." That's always good too. That's always one of my favorite parts, and they all did a great job as well. But I do want to say this. Some people think that God's a joke. Some people think the Bible's a joke. Some people think that heaven's a joke and hell's a joke. Some people think that this Christian life is a joke and that Christians are a joke. Some people think that, all that life is just one big joke. that you just laugh your way through it and ignore all the hurt and the pain, and hopefully one day you'll just be done and nothing lasts and nothing, there is no eternity. And they're wrong. Sodom was a place filled with evil. God had to destroy the city of Sodom because of their unbelief. Praise the Lord, Abraham was praying for his family. Because of that, God sent these messengers to deliver Lot and his family. They deliver the message in verse 12 and 13 and tell them that they are sent to destroy the city because of their sin. Lot goes out and the angels tell him, "Do you have anyone else here, any other family members you need to speak to?" So Lot goes and he walks out there. And, I don't know if you ever thought about it, and this has really nothing to do, but, you know, there were probably still people on their hands and knees blinded, wandering their way through the cities, and Lot had to walk over them to get to his family. And he knocks on the door of his family, which, praise the Lord, none of them were out there in that mass of people. But obviously, these are a little bit more moral people. You ever thought about that? I mean, they weren't the ones banging on the door trying to get Lot to send out people that they could abuse. His sons-in-law and daughters were at home. They weren't out there. And I'm sure in the back of their mind, they thought, well, I'm not like them, right? So Lot goes and he knocks on their door and he says, "Hey, God has sent messengers. God is going to have to destroy this city. We need to leave. This sin. Sin is everywhere. God must judge sin." If you look at verse number 14, at the end of that verse, when he tells his sons-in-law this message and his daughters, it says, "But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." They thought it was a joke. They looked at their father-in-law and thought, "You're crazy. No thanks, Dad. We'll be all right. Yeah, but we need to leave. God sent messengers and there's judgment coming." "Okay, Dad. We'll get back with you on that." And no doubt when they walked out, the conversation, they probably giggled. Probably the daughter said, "I'm so sorry for my dad. He's always had a little religious streak in him." And they laughed it off and probably had a snack and went to bed thinking that tomorrow will be another day. But it wasn't a joke. And there are thousands upon thousands of people living in this world that think that what we're doing today is a joke. I'm not mad at them, because we used to be that way too. There are people that think this book, the Bible, take it or leave it, people mock it constantly. People ridicule a Christian sanctified life. Even other Christians do that. At the concept of heaven and hell, they roll their eyes. Sin. It's all a joke. And unfortunately, too many, to hear what we have to say this morning and what this preacher is about to preach, they would say we would seem to them as someone who mocked. They look at it all as a joke. But let me share a couple things this morning. Some things that, number one, was not a joke. And I want us to understand it this morning because it wasn't a joke then and it's not a joke now. Now, they may have taken it as a joke, but they were wrong. They may have rolled their eyes at it. And someone today may even roll their eyes at what is said this morning. But what I'm about to preach to you comes from the Word of God. It's not a joke. Number one, sin is not a joke. Sin is not a joke. For the wages of sin is death. From the very beginning, God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, "This you are not to eat of. This fruit you are not to eat it. In the day that you eat it, ye shall surely die." The wages of sin is death. They chose to disobey God and they chose to sin. And when they did, spiritually, instantly, they died. And that death was passed upon all men because all of us are descendants of Adam. We are all his children, and because of that, we have an inherited a sin nature. Spiritually, we are dead. Now, the day that you believed in Jesus Christ and asked Christ to save you, you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. The day that we believed in Christ, he spiritually gave us life. We were born again. And that life, by the way, is eternal. We will never perish. But sin's not a joke. We laugh at it. People mock it. People try to ignore it. The sons-in-law here in this passage of Scripture, they weren't involved in the bad stuff. Following me? And so no doubt when the knock came and they opened the door, God's going to destroy this world, this city, because of sin. Okay, Dad. They had just kind of grown accustomed to it. They lived in it so long, it was just what it was. Now, they weren't going to be involved in the bad stuff. And there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that think that, you know what, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not like them. I'm not involved in whatever wicked sin we want to mention, which, by the way, in God's eyes, it's all wicked. We sometimes categorize sins as being worse than others, but God says it's all wickedness. But we look at the world and we think, well, I'm not doing that. There's people sitting in Catholic churches today and people sitting in religious institutions, and there are people sitting in Baptist churches, and they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm not as bad as they are, pointing to a lost world, people that are killing each other, and they are. Sodomy's running rampant. It is. People are involved in being thieves and extortion and murder and whatever sin you want to mention, it's out there. And we're all sitting here and saying, well, at least I'm not that way, right? Well, guess what? Our sin problem is just as bad as their sin problem. We as Christians many times sit around and we laugh at sin. We kind of make it a joke. And it's not a joke. We may not get up in church and say, you know, ha ha ha, sin's funny, you know, but you post it on Facebook. Or you watch it on your TV set, and we just think it's all a joke. Sin's not a joke. The devil wants us to consider sin as a joke. He wants us to consider, now look at me, right? Some of you are starting to tune me off already. Look at me. I know, if you want to, I'm just putting it in our own perspective. We're not as bad, right, as some things going on out there. I get it. But according to the Bible, we're all just as wicked. And when we laugh at what they're doing, or we find humor in what they're doing, or we find entertainment in sin, sin's not a joke. It's time that we start to realize how awful sin is. Sin's not a joke. Number two, salvation's not a joke. Lot said, boys, please, daughters, come with me. God has given us a way of escape. God has given us a way of salvation, but we must leave. And he seemed to them as one that mocked. A way of salvation? Whatever. Here is an opportunity to be delivered. I'll take my chances. And unfortunately, there may be someone here that you know that you're a sinner, but in some reason in the back of your mind you think, well, I'm not like they are. Surely God won't destroy me like he's going to them. I'll give you a little spoiler. Lot's sons-in-law died the same way those blind men crawling in the street died. They perished. His own daughters perished. the same way that those perverted men perished. And if you in your mind think that your good works or you're not as bad as other people, that God will let give you an exception, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith and understanding that He is who He says He is. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the one who died for my sins. I am the sinner. I need Jesus. And until we choose to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, you say, well, I'm not like some of those people out there. You'll perish in the same way. As far as we know, Lot's sons-in-law are still in hell today. And if somehow you could peel open this earth and have them give you 3 seconds of wisdom, they would say, listen today. It's not a joke. Salvation. Lot looked at him and said, up, get you out of here. Let's go. This is an opportunity. We need to be saved today and to accept and believe what God has told us. And they said, whatever, Dad. And they perished. Sin's not a joke. Salvation's not a joke. Heaven and hell are not a joke. You see, the wages of sin is what? Death. You say, well, preacher, you're saved. You're going to die one day. That's true. It's appointed unto men once to die. But that death that's talked about, the wages of our sin, is a second death. The Revelation describes as death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Praise God, because I'm saved, I will never be cast into the lake of fire. But it's real. And there are people this morning that are in hell. Countless. Say, because God's mean? Not at all. God has given everyone a chance of salvation. God has paid for it. His own Son died for us to be saved. Jesus paid it all. You know, I've been teaching in my Sunday school class on biblical motivations, what should motivate us. And today's motivation was the love of God. And that should motivate us in our life. And I use a simple illustration. You know, if I use Brother Jeff, I'll use him again. Jeff pops at Mecca, right? And maybe if I keep using his illustration, he might do it, right? But my illustration was that Jeff went and paid off my house mortgage. Still not happening, huh, Jeff? No, all right? But, you know, I use that as an illustration. Now, if Jeff went and wrote a check and paid off my mortgage, and then Jeff came to me and said, all right, I need $800 a month. I still have a mortgage. Right? It's just it transferred who I owe. And I'm still just as much in debt as I was. Right? But what if Jeff goes and pays off my mortgage and says, Jeff, here's all I've been paying this mortgage company, this amount, I can send you that. Jeff says, no, I paid it off. You don't owe anything anymore. That changes everything. That's what Jesus did with our sin. It's not a gift, by the way, if the Lord saved you and then says, but you better do this for me. It's not a gift. When He paid for our sins, He paid for it at all. You say, well, what should I do? Same thing I would do with Jeff. Jeff called, paid off my mortgage, right? He didn't want me to pay him back a thing. It was just for me. And Jeff says, hey, I need a ride to the airport. Guess what I'm doing? I'm taking him to the airport. Well, I sure would like a drink of water. I'll go get it. Dude just paid off my mortgage, right? That's what it is. We as Christians, if we're motivated, we see the great love that God has for us. We should respond with a great love towards Him, because our debt has totally been erased. I'm not doing anything in order to earn anything. I've already been forgiven, but I want to serve Him with all my heart, soul, and mind because I see what He's done for me. And we ought to be a thankful people today that God has delivered us from hell. Amen. If you are saved today, you will not spend one second in hell. But hell is real. You know, Jesus talked about hell 3 to 1 times more than he did heaven. Heaven's wonderful. Heaven is real. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. There's a street of gold in heaven. There's a river flowing there in heaven. The throne of God. We will be there where there's no more, as was just sung this morning, no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more separation. Praise the Lord. What a day that's going to be when we see Jesus and we're in heaven together. Just as great as that is, hell is just as awful. Hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of weeping. Where the worm dieth not. The only sound you will hear is the crying out of pain and torment. The world paints a picture and makes a good country song, I guess, that you'll get together and have a party in hell, but that's a lie. And the little cartoons that has the devil sitting on a throne in hell is a lie. Let me tell you what the devil does about hell. He fears it. I'll be honest, more than you. He fears it. Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil's not in hell sitting on some throne with a pitchfork. He walks about this world seeking whom he may devour. But one day, he will be cast eternally into hell. And the devil doesn't want to take you to hell either, because it isn't like he wants to have dominion over you. He'll be in just as much torment. And why does he not want people to go to heaven? Because he hates God. But hell is real. Heaven is real. Not a joke. Salvation's not a joke. There must be a time in your life when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. A sin is not a joke. Can I tell you something else from this story that's not a joke? A faithful uncle who will pray for his family is not a joke. The reason why Lot, some of his family, was able to be saved from this, because he had an uncle who prayed. I know this is an odd point, but listen real close. Some of you have a grandparent that's praying for you. Some of you may have an aunt, an uncle. Some of you may have a child that's praying for you. I promise you have a pastor who's praying for you. You may have a cousin that's prayed for you, a friend. A lot of times when someone says, hey, I'm praying for you, we smile, thank you. But in our mind, it seems as someone who mocks. You could care less if they do or don't. But I want you to know you ought to be thankful for those prayers. Grandma and Grandpa, keep praying. Mom, Dad, keep praying. Son and daughter, keep on praying. Neighbor, keep praying. Because the prayers of an uncle, they probably thought, can you imagine, if they thought that Lot was someone who mocked, imagine what they thought about Abraham and how religious, spiritual Abraham was. And he was. Abraham loved God. He was a friend of God. The sons-in-law, you can only imagine at the family reunion what they thought about Abraham. But my, how thankful they should have been for him. And if you know there's people like that praying for you, or by the way, you're doing well today, and you know that there was a grandma, grandpa, mom, a dad, cousin, friend that was praying for you for years, why don't you stop today and say thank you? Thank you for never quitting praying for me. Because that's not a joke. I get something else from this story that's not a joke: the shortness of time. Up, get you out. Back again in verse number 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed to one that mocked. You know, I don't know if, maybe I just thought of it. I don't recall, maybe there is, of them saying, in an hour we're going to destroy the place, or in the morning. They said it's coming. And a lot of people, again, Peter talks about it in his epistle in the New Testament, that there will be people who will scorn and mock and say, where is the return of the Lord? Okay, preacher, what a day that will be. Yeah, they've been singing that for 100 years and he's not come yet. You know, if you've grown up in church like I have, you've heard a preacher say 1,000 times, today could be the last day. I can't even imagine how many times I've heard a preacher say that. And it's still true. But what happens is we get so used to things, we've grown so complacent about things, that when a preacher says, today the Lord could return, we think, okay. It seems as one who mocks. But the fact is this, if I was sitting in this auditorium today and I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had any eyes and a brain at all and looked around me and saw the state of this world and the wickedness of man and how sin is running rampant, and you are on the brink of people, nations turning against each other, and you see all that God said is going to be right before destruction and the end comes, I would not wait till an invitation. I'd stand up right now and ask the Lord to save me. Because we're that close. But the shortness of time to many people is a joke. To many people, the word of God's a joke. It's not a joke. Lot said, listen, God said, okay. No, you don't understand. I got a message from the Lord. God said, destruction's coming. Okay, Dad. And it was a joke. Well, this is what the Lord has said. Okay. And a lot of people take God's word and they kind of have the same attitude towards it. About salvation, unfortunately. But look at me. About everything else, too. Amen. I don't care if it's in this book. It's not a joke. If it's in this book, a lot of times we think, yes, salvation, amen. We should not take that as a joke. Well, it also talks about holy living. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get all crazy on me. That's what Lot's son said too. It also talks about tithing. Whoa, preacher, don't talk about that kind of stuff. Well, the book says, what book does. A lot of times we kind of roll our eyes about the things we don't want, right? I get another thing from this passage of Scripture too. Mercy and grace from God is not a joke. God showed great mercy to Lot and his family. Great mercy. Verse number 16, look at it real quick. Chapter number 19, verse number 16, it says this, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. But you know, the angels, these messengers said, it's time, you need to leave. Let's go. Did you know Lot sat there and goes, maybe we could go and, I don't know if he wanted to collect some more things. I don't know if maybe you want to go talk to his sons and daughters again. Or maybe he just had, you know, His money was in the room. Did you know that these messengers of God literally had to take the hand of Lot and his wife and their daughters that were still living at home and literally lead them out of the city? Now listen. See, what is that? That's God's mercy. That is God's mercy. That is God's grace. I mean, can you imagine? God would have been perfectly just. And I mean perfectly just to go up to Lot and to say, listen, Lot, God is going to destroy. Now is the time you need to leave. And as he lingered, he would have been perfectly just to say, I told him. Perfectly just. But God is so rich in grace and mercy. He said, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. And he sat there and he lingered. And finally, he took hold of his hand and literally led them out of the city. That's grace. That's mercy. A lot of people hear about God's grace and mercy and kind of think it's a joke. Kind of take it lightly. We don't take it seriously. But everyone in this auditorium ought to be thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. I'll be first in line, thankful for his mercy. So I see a lot of things that were a joke. But let me close with this. Why was it a joke? His sons-in-law, they thought he was joking. He was mocking. So why did they have this attitude? Ready? I'm just going to give these two as we gotta close. Number one, they were captivated by the world. They loved where they were. And it all started with Lot, chapter number 18, when Abraham said, choose which way you want to go. And Lot said, I'd like to go that way. He saw Sodom and Gomorrah, he saw the money, he saw the entertainment, he saw all that the world had to offer and said, kind of lean that direction. And you know what? You don't see Lot. Matter of fact, I believe with all my heart that Lot saved. I believe he's in heaven. The Bible in the New Testament refers to his righteous soul. But it said that the days that he lived in Sodom, that he vexed his righteous soul. He knew he was wrong. He knew where he was a wicked place. He knew he shouldn't be there. And he vexed his righteous soul every day. But he sat there. He said, well, Lot ended up okay. He did. But he lost his wife. He lost his daughters. His sons-in-law. He lost everything he owned. And the two daughters that did escape, the wickedness that befell, I'm not even going to talk about in church. A group of people would be the offspring that would vex God's people for years to come. Because he loved the world. You know why a lot of lost people sit there and we've made it a point, I've been trying my best, I hope you are too, to witness to somebody every day. The majority of everyone I've talked to have been nice, but not that interested. I've talked to a couple that wanted nothing to do with anything because they knew Christians. They used to be in church. Something happened. And me offering them an invitation to church or wanting to talk to them about God's word was a joke to them. We fall in love with the world, become captivated by the world, and become very comfortable with sin. They were living right amongst it. They just saw it as part of life. And because of that, their sensitivity towards that which was spiritual, they've grown cold. What the word of God was and the message of it, they rolled their eyes. In 2019, they could sit in church, hear the preaching of the word of God, kind of sit there and endure it, think, well, that's fine for him, whatever, yeah, I'm not going to change. And they'd walk out the back door and continue. That's where his sons were. The message of God of sin, salvation, the shortness of time, God's mercy, God's grace, heaven and hell. It's a joke. They're not going to actually respond. They're not actually going to do anything. They didn't take it any seriously because they just loved the world. They were comfortable with sin. And by the way, they had become companions. Companions with those who were lost. So what do you mean by that? Lot's daughters were allowed to marry people that could care less about God. Mom and Dad, we have an obligation there. We have an obligation. The Bible says in the New Testament, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This worldly carnal philosophy that's being taught in a lot of quote-unquote churches today, everybody just come in and we'll all just do whatever and don't offend anybody. They're marrying and giving in marriage and not helping anybody. It's pulling people away from truth. They become, why it was a joke, they become cold towards God. Cold towards God. Lot said, God said. And they said, who cares? When we don't have a relationship with God or we don't listen for God and don't respect His word, they become very callous with their family. It was a joke because family was a joke. What do you mean family was a joke? Lot offered to send his two daughters down the street. I as a dad, I can't even begin to comprehend that. I mean, it literally makes me angry at Lot. I can't even comprehend that thought. It blows my mind that Lot would even think it, much less offer such a thing. But when we become hard-hearted towards our own family, and if he had that attitude towards those daughters, I guarantee he had that attitude with his other daughters. And when we become very callous towards our family, we don't show love towards our family, and we don't try to build our family and protect our home and raise a godly home, when we just treat our children lightly and we just treat them flippantly and the things of God flippantly, they're going to grow up to pretty much not like us. If your goal, mom and dad, is to be the friend of your kids, you're going to have some serious issues. Now, I love spending time with my children, but I am their father, number one. We let them play out in the world and indulge themselves in the world. We let them skip church. We let them get involved in everything. We let them dress however they want to. We let them go out and live the way they want to. And then we get upset because they don't want to listen to God and they want to stay away from church. That's what Lot did. You don't treat your family with a godly, nurturing love, then all this will become a joke to them. I'll give you one more thing why it was a joke, because they were combative towards truth. The reason why they looked at what Lot had to say as a joke was because he always pushed back against the truth. Look in the same chapter, verse number 2. We'll close with this. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet and shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, here's these messengers from God, nay, we'll abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. Now, I know the end of the story, but the fact is this, the messengers of God said, no, we're going to stay out here. And he said, no, that isn't going to happen. Look down at verse number 15. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. And he lingered. They told him. He said, no. Verse number 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, the messenger did. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. That's what the messenger of God said. Verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. You see Lot's attitude? He always thought he had a better idea. He always thought whenever God spoke that he had another plan. And he always thought that he had things figured out a little bit more than the preacher. A little bit more than the Word of God. A little bit more than the church. A little bit more than that godly uncle. A little bit more. He always had his own plan and his own agenda. And anytime he was confronted with what God said, he said, not quite. Which is probably the number one reason with that attitude. Well, he knocked on a door and said, daughters, sons-in-law, God said he's going to destroy this city. We need to leave. And they said, okay, we're not going. When we live a life that we're always arguing with God, or we know what God said, but we're going to do it our way. Heartache and destruction's on the path. And unfortunately, his sons-in-law said, thanks, Dad. Shut the door. Got a good laugh out of it. But it wasn't a joke. When fire began to fall from the sky, it was too late. It wasn't a joke. And I promise that every person who has ever been on this planet will one day realize not a joke. Every one of us in this auditorium will one day realize not a joke. You're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is not a joke. Sin demands death, but God has made a way of salvation. Let's just stop for a moment today. Make sure we're not like these sons-in-law. Let's make sure we're listening to the voice of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord,